That is totally inappropriate. It defeats the cause of freedom when you have people that are deranged or have a misguided ideological framework that would reach that, allow them to reach that conclusion that that was appropriate, to violate federal law. That is not appropriate.
We know we can't stop every act of violence, every act of evil in the world, but maybe we could try to stop one act of evil, one act of violence.
This has been an administration that has targeted law-abiding citizens in particular, rather than targeting criminals, rather than targeting terrorists.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. It is 5:08, and today is January 6, 2016. I'm Steve Grzanich, and thanks for being with us today. We've got lots to talk about, lots happening in the world this morning, and a lot of it very serious happening overseas today. North Korea claims it has successfully tested a hydrogen bomb. There's a live news conference underway right now with Nuclear Regulatory Agency officials talking about this. The latest from Reuters is that apparently this is being confirmed, that it was a test of a miniature nuclear device, and that it registered a 5.2 on the Richter scale across the world. It was registered by the USGS in Colorado, and experts in South Korea say that is roughly the same equivalent Richter scale reading as the last H-bomb test by North Korea. It's obviously affecting markets in Asia. The market reaction has been swift and quick. Asian equities already on the back foot following that weak data from China earlier this week fell this morning, and we're watching markets overseas in Asia react. The Nikkei off 183 points to 18,191. The Hang Seng off 208 at 2981. The Shanghai up 74 at 33.62. It'll be interesting to see throughout the morning how this plays out. But again, officials are having a news conference right now in Austria. The people who monitor these nuclear tests, this is obviously a very serious test by North Korea. If it turns out to be accurate and true, it will be another successful test of a hydrogen bomb by North Korea, and just raises tensions in Asia, that part of the world, by a couple more notches. The other big news of the day out of the United States yesterday, obviously the automakers who are reporting that they have set a new U.S. sales record for 2015, even as December sales fell short of expectations. Most forecasters said sales should rise another record this year. For full year 2015, U.S. sales hit a record of 17.47 million vehicles, breaking the mark of 17.41 million vehicles in 2000. This is according to Auto Data Corporation. Low gasoline prices, easy credit, moderate economic growth, all boosting that. We have Aaron Katursky of ABC News with us on the line from New York. And Aaron, these are pretty strong numbers.
It's been a record year, 2015 was, for auto sales in this country. 17.4 million cars and trucks were sold in the country in 2015, and that breaks a record set in the year 2000. And I think there's a couple of reasons for the strong sales. One, the economy, and that cuts several ways. There was cheap credit available because interest rates had been so low, and still really are. So car loans were easy to come by. The terms were longer, and so people may have been encouraged to buy something a little more expensive than they had planned. And then also just the general health of the economy may have released some of that pent-up demand. The average car on the road was something like 11 years old in 2015. And so for many people, it was just time.
How good of an impact will these numbers have on the economy as a whole?
Well, I think it's good that people are feeling more comfortable to buy cars. If they had been waiting, if they hadn't been able to, now that perhaps the employment rate has been a bit higher and more people have found work, more people maybe earning a little bit more, even though wages are still largely flat, it's encouraging them perhaps to go out and buy. It also doesn't hurt that gas prices are so low. And if they had been waiting because they just didn't want to, you know, spend the money on, say, an SUV or a truck, now's not a bad time. And with gas prices as low as they are, that's rethinking how the country has been shopping for cars. Just a few years ago, there was a real priority on smaller vehicles, hybrids, electric vehicles. Now, SUV and truck sales are booming again. And in fact, the top-selling car in the country last year was the Ford F-150 pickup truck.
Which of the automakers made out the best in these numbers?
Ford ended up being the top-selling brand in the country, and the big three are still the big three, Ford, GM, and Fiat Chrysler. But Toyota and Honda and Mitsubishi and Mazda all contributed to the strong sales in 2015. The only one that really lagged was VW, which had been in the midst of a crisis over an emissions scandal. VW still hasn't figured out how to fix all the 600,000 or so cars sold in this country that had been equipped with software that enabled them to cheat on emissions tests. They're still figuring that out here now into the new year, and so that may be a drag on VW sales. But overall, the expectation is, because gas prices are still pretty cheap and interest rates are still pretty low, that 2016 could be another banner year.
Buying a car based on gas prices is a bit risky. It's possible gas prices will skyrocket again, isn't it?
Not only possible, but probably likely. And maybe people will come to regret the money they have to spend to fill the tank. But even some of the smaller SUVs are getting better mileage than they had. And there's been a priority in the administration. The government's required better fuel economy across the board. And I think the automakers are recognizing that fuel economy is still going to be a factor in people's decisions. And that's why they've been introducing vehicles that are, just get better gas mileage no matter what the segment. There's even, been pickup trucks that are being pushed as more fuel efficient. And so people might feel a little more comfortable, but certainly when gas is, $2 and change a gallon, that's much better than when it's $4 and $5 a gallon.
Do these stats suggest a trend of any kind? Will we see another year of continued strong auto sales next year?
Too hard to say, although, as I say, the expectation is that 2016 is going to be another good year for auto sales because the factors that contributed to 2015 sales, at least at the start of the year, are still in place. And I think the manufacturers, too, are paying a little bit more attention. In the last couple of years, there had been scandals involving Takata airbags and VW emissions and GM and its faulty ignition switches and Toyota and unintended acceleration. And the automakers are doing, it seems anyway, a better job at being more responsive to customer complaints and maybe overall doing a better job at how they build their cars. And that may not have been the case in prior years. And so the manufacturers are doing what they can to encourage you to get into the showroom. And the manufacturers are operating differently than they did in the bloated days of the past. More streamlined, more conscious of what they introduce new into the marketplace, but still giving people who just love new cars that same kind of excitement.
Some analysts say there will likely be a glut in used cars in 2017. Some analysts say there will be a glut in used cars in 2017, and that could drive new car sales down.
Well, isn't that always the case? When in a good sales year, you know that somebody has to turn around and give something up. So that is going to mean probably a glut of used cars, and maybe that'll mean some good deals for people who don't mind buying something with a few extra miles.
All right, ABC News correspondent Aaron Katursky with us from New York. Again, yesterday, the auto sales record number of autos sold in the U.S., more than 17.5 million cars. On Wall Street yesterday, major U.S. benchmark ended with tiny gains. The Dow Jones Industrials gained just a fraction of a percent to close at 17,158. Standard & Poor's 500 edged up just a fraction as well. The NASDAQ Composite also up just a fraction. On the world markets, futures markets today, the Dow futures off 270 points. It's 5:16. This is the opening bell.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the program, and good morning again. We're still monitoring a developing story overseas that has affected world markets this morning. North Korea has apparently tested another H-bomb, a nuclear device, a miniature nuclear device, according to authorities. It's sent some Asian markets lower this morning and has ratcheted up concern on an already shaky world market. In other world news affecting markets, the start of a two-day rail strike has largely paralyzed train traffic in and around the Belgian capital of Brussels and has disrupted service to Paris and London. Brussels' main midi station was largely deserted yesterday and again early this morning as the trade union action took hold. Unions are complaining that no serious negotiations have taken place in 2015, and they're seeking a compromise on reforms forcing them into this strike action. A closely watched survey suggests that economic growth across the 19-country Eurozone hit a 4.5-year high in the fourth quarter of 2015. Financial information company Markit said its Purchasing Managers Index, a broad gauge of economic activity, rose to 54.3 points in December from 54.2 the previous month. The monthly growth rounded off the best quarterly performance since the middle of 2011. Markit chief economist Chris Williams says the Eurozone economy starts 2016 on solid footing, is well-placed to enjoy a year of robust expansion if it can get past some of these early hurdles. Well, if you're a tech geek like me, you've been watching the opening and the pre-opening of the Consumer Electronics Show that's happening out in Las Vegas. Lots of cool stuff being introduced already. We got a preview yesterday, believe it or not, of shoes. The latest wearables are shoes that will tell you if you're putting too much weight on them, tell you if it's time for new shoes. The only thing I think they don't do is tell you if your feet stink. Maybe you have smelly feet or something like that. But that's one of the and they have high heels, too. Mary will like this. Lots of cool dress shoes and evening shoes. That is the latest wearable. There's also something that everybody can enjoy. It is a sort of a belt device that tells you when you've eaten too much.
I don't want that.
Oh, man. Can you believe that?
No.
I mean, I'm
the
thinking,
shoe's okay, but I'm not going to have some belt start, you know, choking me or something. What, does it tighten up when you're eating too much?
Well, I think so. I think it's sort of like, you know, when you're at Thanksgiving dinner and you've gone through helping number seven and you just unbutton your pants. I think that's what it's,
that's
it does.
What guys do. They just pop their pants.
Yeah, but maybe it does it like a helping two before you get to helping five, and that way you don't get to helping seven.
Or there's an alarm on it or something that says, stop.
Yeah, and then the other really cool thing is they're actually developing a steering wheel for cars that will help young drivers who have a hard time because, you know, all of the stats say that young drivers are the most prone to accidents. And this smart steering wheel apparently will take control of a car if it is going out of control, if the driver's not paying attention, maybe texting or doing something. That was one of the other cool devices that got a lot of attention yesterday. And coming up in our show tomorrow, we're going to be talking with our correspondent at the Consumer Electronics Show. There's so much to talk about, so much new technology. From the medical industry, there is actually a robot they're developing that will be able to help people who are living, they call it aging in place, where people have decided to retire in their homes and stay in their homes rather than go to nursing homes and places like that. Well, this is a robot that will actually be installed in a home, and it will be able to follow the person around and have two-way conversations with the doctor if necessary. It'll remind the person to take their medicine. It'll remind the person to exercise. And more than that, it will enable relatives who may live in another city far away to keep tabs on their mom or dad or their family member remotely, have conversations with them, and even tell them whether or not they're parent, mom, dad has taken their medicine in the morning.
As long as the battery doesn't run out.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think they're solar powered, but and the robot actually talks. It looks like it's a looking, talking. I don't know if it's a feeling robot, but it is certainly pretty cool.
Does it give them like grief if they don't take their pill at the right time?
I think it shoots.
What do you think it?
I think it shoots a laser beam or something at them, you know, just sort of get them up
nice.
Off the couch or something.
Nice.
But it is pretty cool. And it's a little bit scary, I think, too. I mean, I think you have to be willing to have that sort of 24/7 monitoring because if the robot's in the corner and you're sitting watching TV and all of a sudden it lights up and, you know, who's watching?
Recharges.
Changes the channel.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
you have hacking. You know, what if you hack into something like that? Could you hack into something like that and tell somebody to take too much medication?
Oh.
I guess that would be another.
You can't sue the
droid. Now there's something else for us to worry about, Steve.
I think it's just begun, Dave. I think the technology is moving so fast and getting so good over just courses of like a couple of months. We've seen stuff go from, you know, A to Z, it seems, pretty quickly. So we'll be monitoring the Consumer Electronics Show out in Las Vegas Boy, that's a ticket. If you had to, go to some place, wouldn't that be a?
Have you been?
I have not.
No. I never have either. I would love to go.
I would too. But apparently, it's like Comic-Con. You can't get in unless you know somebody. No. And I think even they limit the number of reporters and journalists who can go as well. You have to be sort of an accredited person who writes about this stuff, and even then, you don't get to see all the good stuff. But yeah, it would be like the Super Bowl. You've been to the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah. That's for not me, everybody gets to go, but yeah,
and you get to see cool stuff behind the scenes too.
Sure,
you
know,
you get to play with the robot.
Yeah. I don't think it'd be as much. Yeah. I think this would be a lot more fun.
Anybody in the business of selling firearms must get a license and conduct background checks or be subject to criminal prosecutions.
It's no good, it's no fair, and they're not going to screw around with the Second Amendment, okay? It's not going to happen.
I was very proud that he made these recommendations, some of which I have been advocating in this campaign for.
This is the opening bell on WGN 720. It's 5:36. Good morning, January 6th, 2016. And just before Christmas, Congress gave out lots of gifts to states. And one of them was an extension of the Research and Development Tax Credit. And what is that, you ask? Well, it gives states basically some tax credits to help companies find the next new thing, the next big thing, and what it says, research and development. And without that, we wouldn't have some of the things that we were talking about with the Consumer Electronics Show, all of these new gadgets, all of these new devices, this innovation that pushes the economy forward, that affects all of us in some way or another. Joining us on the Newsline this morning is Ginger Powell of Plant Moran here in the Chicago area. And Ginger, you're sort of an expert on all of this. Give our listeners a sense of why this is important to their bottom line.
Sure, Steve. Thanks. So just maybe to take a quick step back. So back in the 80s, the research credit was established, like you said, to incentivize research spending and job creation here in the U.S. And it was one of the many tax extenders that were addressed in the recent PATH Act, which President Obama signed into law last month. So being after being available for over 30 years, it was really exciting to see it finally made permanent. And in specific situations, companies and their owners are going to have the opportunity to offset their alternative minimum tax and payroll taxes for the first time starting in 2016 as a result of that legislation. So the reason that companies would want to look at it is because as a tax credit versus a tax deduction, it's going to provide companies with a dollar-for-dollar reduction of their taxes owed. That means more cash in hand and better effective tax rates. So it's exciting to work with companies and see this money being reinvested into their future development activities. Like you mentioned, all of the things that are going on at CES right now, very exciting.
How much has this not happened because of the uncertainty of whether or not the R&D credit might be renewed or not? Because I know now that that Congress has taken action, they've taken that uncertainty away, and it's going to be an ongoing thing. How has that uncertainty kept innovation down, do you think?
You know, I'm not sure that I would say it's kept innovation down. I think that companies within the U.S. are excited to do innovation. They're looking to develop the next new thing and remain competitive in the world market. But as they're doing it, now they're going to get this tax benefit back to help encourage that future spending and the continued spending.
Give us an idea of how this has helped in the past. Is there a scenario or a situation or a company that you can point to that has had this R&D credit that has gone on to do great things? What would be an example?
Sure. So it's available for companies in a variety of industries. And I've seen many different companies and types benefit from it. So everything from the automotive industry, food and beverage, medical devices, aerospace. Within the services industries, we see engineering and architecture companies, software development, other technologies and application development being done, pharmaceuticals. So it really spans a variety of companies and a variety of company sizes. So anything from startup companies through the middle market sized companies and all the way up to Fortune 500 well-established doing the things that we use and we see every day.
I'm thinking specifically in some of the pharmaceutical companies. This has been a major help for them, has it not?
It has, yeah, absolutely.
Could you give us an
example? So, you know, maybe one of the things that's interesting is that while there are a couple different methods that are available to calculate the credit, after all the math is done, the benefit that they're going to get is around, you know, 5 to 7% of the qualified research expenses identified. So if you're looking at a company with, you know, $500,000 of engineering wages, you know, scientific development, any sort of wages or prototype expenses, testing expenses within pharmaceutical industry would be a good example. They might have $500,000 of expenses. They might have a $25,000 to $35,000 research credit available. So if they owed $100,000 in taxes, they would potentially get a $65,000 tax bill instead of that $100,000 tax bill.
When we take a snapshot of this here in the United States and then compare it to the rest of the world, is there competition where this is concerned? Are other countries giving companies better credits to do this kind of work in their neck of the woods?
Yeah, you know, there is some competition for that, and there are definitely credits available around the world in different countries, and they really vary from country to country. Sometimes it's based on the industries where it's available, you know, how the credits are calculated. But, you know, most of the larger companies countries are going to have a credit of some type.
Go ahead.
Sorry. I was just going to say I was listening yesterday and one of your guests was talking about, you know, all of the components and items needed related to the space exploration and all of the nanosatellites and the guidance systems and the communication systems and so many other things that go into that. It was exciting to hear her talking about that because you think about, you know, all of the companies and all of the development that goes into that one niche industry, to the extent that that's being done in the United States, those are the types of activities that are going to qualify and be incentivized to continue doing in the U.S.
And here in Chicago, we have quite a few of these little incubators, if for lack of a better term, these companies that are doing some really cutting-edge stuff. Give us an idea of some of those places that would be able to take advantage of this tax credit.
Yeah, absolutely. We definitely see a number of those incubators where we're looking at, we see a lot of the software development, application development, a lot within the medical industry right now. How to maintain and work with medical records, how to help with testing services and devices. It definitely, it spans the industries.
Well, and here's a tough question for you, because as I was looking into some of the research on this, there were actually some of the Democrats and some of the tax hawks were against this, because with any tax credit, it's got to cost something. It's got to be paid for somehow. And there are some that say we don't have the money to pay for these kinds of tax credits. What would it be the response from, you know, your side be on that?
So as a certified public accountant, I try to stay out of the politics of it for the most part. So I try not to speculate. But we definitely tracked and paid attention to a lot of the different bills that were put into place. I think that while the spending offsets are definitely a point of decision that needed to be made, I think that in most cases, on both sides of the aisle, they were supportive of continuing to incentivize the innovation and the development in the U.S., and that was really what was important.
As an accountant, you also know you have to sort of balance the ledger sheet, right? I mean, how is this going to be paid for, I guess, is the better question I should ask you.
I think we're still looking to learn some more of that, and that's definitely something we're going to keep paying attention to and interested to find out.
Okay, we're talking with Ginger Powell of Plante Moran, the Research and Development Tax Credit.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
It's 5:48. Good morning again. I'm Steve Grzanich. Welcome back to the program. On the calendar today, the news calendar, lots of economic stuff happening today. Stuff, for the lack of a better term, the Federal Open Market Meeting minutes are being published today. So we'll see what sort of discussions were behind the last Federal Reserve interest rate. Also, the U.S. Commerce Department releases the manufacturer shipment inventories and orders. The U.S. Department of Commerce is also going to release figures in U.S. international trade and goods and services for November. And ADP National Employment Report for December comes out this morning at 7:15 Chicago time. So those are some of the things we'll be watching for you as the day goes along here on WGN 720 with Your Money. And some people are celebrating some birthdays today. Here's Bob Kessler.
He's in the upcoming Harry Potter spinoff and was just voted GQ's Best Dressed British Man. Eddie Redmayne leads our birthday roundup today. He's working on Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, a movie set 70 years before the Harry Potter films. He delivers just one line in the latest trailer after opening a mysterious suitcase.
It was open?
Just a smidge.
It's scheduled to come out in November. Eddie Redmayne's 34 today. The Ghostbusters reboot set to come out this summer stars Saturday Night Live cast member Kate McKinnon. She talked about it on Live with Kelly and Michael after shooting wrapped up with co-stars Kristen Wiig and Melissa McCarthy.
Well, I had the greatest summer of my life. It was really like going back to theater camp. Like at the end of it, we really did, just the four of us, like held each other and we were just like, I've changed so much this summer. I love you guys so much.
Kate McKinnon's 32 today. And Walking Dead star Norman Reedus last month was bitten by someone who apparently took her fandom a bit too far when he showed up at a fan convention. It prompted him to post a picture of himself wearing a Don't Bite Me t-shirt on Instagram. But he told GQ about some other wise words in case of a real zombie apocalypse.
Zombies are looking for brains. Don't worry, you're safe.
Norman Reedus is 47 today, and those are the birthdays in arts and entertainment for Wednesday, January 6th, 2016. I'm Bob Kessler from Rivet Radio and WGN.
It's 5:51. This is the opening bell on WGN. And we, in our last segment, we're talking with Ginger Powell of Plant Moran in the Chicago area about the research and development tax credit extension. And Ginger, before we let you go, I just want to say, ask you this question. What would your advice be to some of these small startups that are out there that might be listening, people who are these entrepreneurs who are trying to find the next big thing about taking advantage of the tax credits like this that are available and finding help, that the kind of help that you provide?
Sure. So there are a number of different methods available to calculate the credit. And the IRS does typically tend to audit these. There are specific rules around the documentation that's required to substantiate it. So I would definitely recommend that companies find they talk to their tax advisor, find a tax advisor who has expertise in this area. And we at Plant Moran do this all the time. So we would definitely be excited to talk to any companies who are interested in it. And, you know, I think, again, thinking about 5 to 7% of that benefit, there are carry forward opportunities. It's a cash credit available. So it's definitely something I would encourage that they look into and talk to their tax advisor for.
Do you hope that this sort of keeps, I know it's sort of a federal tax credit, but, you know, in Illinois, we're kind of hoping businesses stay here and this innovation happens here.
Yeah, absolutely. Do
you think this is going to help Illinois?
I do. You know, our Illinois credit is only available right now through 2015. So we are definitely looking forward to the legislation that hopefully will extend the credit here in Illinois. You know, we were talking earlier about how the credit affects the spending. And while it's difficult to really measure the actual effect that the R&D credit has as far as what research is being done, I think most economists have agreed in the studies that have been performed that it does increase the R&D spending that we're doing here in the U.S. as well as here in Illinois.
All right. Ginger Powell, Plant Moran, very good of you to be up with us on the opening bell this morning. Good talking with you, and hopefully we can check back with you again sometime.
Thanks very much. Nice talking with you, too.
All right, Ginger Powell of Plant Moran, the Research and Development Tax Credit extended by Congress. Let's hope it is also extended here in Illinois. This is the opening bell on WGN 720. Just a couple of other business headlines, important business headlines for you this morning. We've got a note from the Illinois Treasurer's Office yesterday, and they are announcing a new expansion and some changes to the Ag Invest program, which will include a rate reduction. The Treasurer's Office is helping farmers pay the annual startup costs associated with some of their operations like seed, fertilizer, plants, crop insurance, and other expenses the Ag Invest program, some changes that you'll want to go to the Illinois Treasurer's website if you're a farmer, illinoistreasurer.gov. They've made some changes, again, that's going to make it easier to borrow and borrow more if you need the help. That's from the Illinois Treasurer's Office. Also, this morning, we're watching again overseas just to reset what has happened in North Korea. An apparent test of a nuclear device by the North has sent Asian markets lower, off in Japan 183 points, the Hang Seng off 208. Shanghai, the only market overseas showing higher numbers, up 74. The Dow futures are down 259 points. The S&P futures are off 32 points. So that's the opening bell, another show in the bag.